Mike Rabinovich here, and this is the Modelo's Conversations with Data Warehouse Experts podcast series. Our mission in these podcasts is to speak to the best minds in the data warehouse and BI space, and to get their take on the state of the business and find out what they think the future holds. We are also committed to do it in a way that adds value to tech professionals, while at the same time is clear and compelling for the business managers and executives they collaborate with every day. In today's episode, it is my pleasure to speak with Dr. Claudia Imhoff, a real rock star in our corner of the technology universe. She not only has the technical chops, but also the in-depth understanding of the business landscape. In 1992, she founded her consulting company, Intelligent Solutions, Inc. And in 2006, she founded the Boulder BI Brain Trust, which has gained a reputation for being one of the finest collections of smarts in the industry. Welcome, Claudia.
Well, thank you, Michael, for a lovely introduction.
Well, that's how we roll at the Modelo. So I want to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about your background for our listeners who have not had a chance to hear you or work with you.
Well, you've covered it. I started my company in 1992, so that means I have, 25 years of building and designing and everything about data warehouses. In recent years, my work has focused more on the vendors themselves, looking at where they fit into the architectures. I've written 5 books, more than 150 articles, and again, my focus has been on the architecture supporting business intelligence and analytics, all the infrastructure that it takes to make a good, solid, modern BI and analytics environment.
Since you have such a good overview of the industry for both the tech and business end, where have you seen the most significant changes in data in the data warehouse space over, let's say, the last 5 years?
Oh boy, the last 5 years have been an incredible period of innovation. And unfortunately, with tremendous innovation comes a lot of disruption. And that's certainly shaken up everybody's ideal architecture. But let me start with what I see as some of the changes. The first one, of course, has got to be a focus on the different types of data that we now can use for analytics. It used to be all structured data and mostly internally derived data coming out of our operational systems. But that is gone bye-bye. We certainly do still need the operational data, no doubt about that. It tells us what we're doing. But now we have access to all sorts of external data, and it's not well-behaved operational data or structured data. It's pretty misbehaving data, if you will, variably structured, odd formats, odd sources, and that type of thing. So that's the first one. The second one is the data storage itself has undergone dramatic changes with the advent of Hadoop and Spark and so forth, analytic appliances, analytic databases. We now have tremendous performance and storage capabilities for all of that data that I just talked about. And the third one are the different deployment options that we have today. We have to look at the cloud. The cloud has become a major deployment factor. Do we go off premises or do we keep everything on premises? And then the last one are the advances in the analytics themselves. Obviously, data visualization was a big trend about 5, 6, 7 years ago. But we also now have, of course, the advent of the much vaunted data scientist and all of the wizardry that goes behind the advanced analytics that are now capable of being performed. So those are the major trends, changes that I've seen, and they've had a dramatic impact on our business.
Now, one of the topics that I see most often discussed almost exclusively is the quantity of data. There's so much of it. What I want to ask you to address is that, do you think that the current data warehouse products are adequately addressing the increasing complexity, not just the quantity of data, as well as the exponential increase in data flows?
The answer is yes and no. I hate to equivocate that way, but yes and no. First of all, as I mentioned, data storage and the performance of analytics, absolutely yes. They have kept up with tremendous performance and tremendous ability to store now terabytes, petabytes, you name it, all kinds of data. Where the no comes in is really around the administration and the governance of that data. It's still new to a lot of companies, and therefore they don't quite know how to manage it. They don't know how to administer it. And in particular, the governance side is very questionable. How do I govern massive amounts of data? And that leads to another problem, which of course is if you can't manage it, then maintaining it is very difficult. The adage of, gee, let's just throw all the data into a data lake and somebody else will figure it out is a road to failure. That is not the way we want to do this. We do need to design it. We do need to understand it, and we do need to govern it.
Some pundits over the last few years have heralded, in their words, the death of the data warehouse. What's your take on that?
Well, that's a fallacy, of course. The data warehouse is anything but dead. Its definition has certainly become more crystallized. If people are interested, I wrote a paper for the Data Warehousing Institute on the extended data warehouse architecture. And let me just spend a minute or two on what that is. My focus, as I said, has always been on architectures. The extended data warehouse architecture takes into account this disruption to the traditional architectures, whether it's a corporate information factory or a bus architecture, and recognizes that analytics are now found in three different areas. The first one, of course, is the traditional EDW, enterprise data warehouse. Its definition has crystallized, though, to be a production analytics environment. Don't throw the data warehouse out. It is a source of wonderful, certified, trusted, reliable data. And it's the production environment. Where else can we produce trusted analytics, the analytics that we run our companies on, and we have to believe in that they are created from trusted data? Things like key performance indicators and all of the customer analytics, profitability analytics, and those used for forecasting. So the EDW is a wonderful place for those production analytics. But we also have another need, and that is the exploration or experimental side of the house. And that's where a lot of the new technologies have focused their attention. Things like Hadoop and columnar storage in memory, the analytics engines and the analytic appliances. All of those things really work well in this experimental area. And that's where we do these general unplanned queries. That is something that was just impossible to do in a well-planned data warehouse. So now we've got a place to do that. But there's also a third area for analytics, and that's in operations, if you will. It's real-time analytics on real-time data. In other words, streaming analytics. We are analyzing data as it comes into our organization before we even store it. Both the investigative computing platform, that experimental area, and the data warehouse, you have to store the data and then analyze it. But in streaming analytics, we're going to analyze it as it's coming in, and then we may or may not store that information. So what's happened is this new architecture, if you will, does include a data warehouse. It is anything but dead. It certainly does take that into account. Don't throw it out. It's still a good a place for these production type analytics, but it doesn't mean that we don't have other areas where analytics take place. Now, the good news is the new technologies have helped speed up the data warehouse. We certainly want to bring those technologies to bear on some of the trusted analytics. They do certainly work in the world of investigative computing platform, and some even help us out with the streaming analytics. So, good news, we've now got technologies in all those areas.
A moment ago, you spoke briefly about the cloud, and I want to come back to that. As more and more companies are adopting the cloud, what do you think will be the lasting impact on their data warehousing projects because of that move?
Well, there are some challenges and some benefits, and let me just go through them quickly. The first challenge I see is the IT governance and control. A lot of IT departments are leery of letting go of control over their environments. You know, putting the data in the cloud means they no longer have strict control over it. So there are concerns about security and privacy, and that ranks pretty high on their lists. Another challenge is actually a change to the IT workflows. These workflows that deal with compliance and security are certainly more complicated in these hybrid environments, and I do think it's going to be hybrid well into the future. Hybrid meaning that some data is on premises and some data is in the cloud. And then the third one is interesting. It seems like one cloud instance isn't good enough, and now we have multiple cloud deployments. We may have some data in private clouds, some in public clouds. So now we've got to handle the flow of data into these multiple, even now, multiple cloud deployments. And then, of course, managing costs is another one. The on-demand and scalable nature of cloud computing services can make it pretty hard to determine and predict all of the costs. And of course, different cloud computing companies have different cost plans. Some may charge by data volume, others by number of active users, and others by cluster size, for example. So those are some of the challenges. Now, some of the benefits of cloud is the first and foremost, of course, is the lowered operating costs. This is a CapEx versus OpEx determination. When you are renting your infrastructure, of course, there's a monthly or yearly spend, but you're not paying for everything up front like you do in an on-premises environment. So that's the first benefit that you see. And then, of course, the company doesn't have to worry about maintenance or upgrade hassles and all of that kind of stuff. The company offering the software and hardware has to keep up with that. Ease of implementation is another one. Boy, you can get a cloud deployment just by swiping your credit card, right? And a lot of companies
true.
Do that. And then, of course, the best thing I think about the whole cloud deployment is its, what do we call it? Elastic scalability, I guess, is the best thing. You can quickly scale up and down depending on your needs. So those are just some of the things that I see that are pretty important about moving to the cloud and their impact on data warehouse projects. Certainly it is easier to get to spool up an instance and get data into it than it is to build your own. And that's probably the biggest impact on data warehousing.
Now, in addition to your consulting practice, you're also the founder of the Boulder BI Business Trust. What led you to start it in 2006?
Well, it's actually the Boulder BI Brain Trust, just to give it to the
BI
the proper...
Brain Trust. Let's get that right.
Yeah, just to give it its right name.
Yeah.
You know, what led me to creating it was kind of a frustration. I'm an independent analyst. I don't work for a big analyst firm. I actually am pretty much a sole proprietorship. And if you are an independent analyst or consultant or practitioner, you don't get a lot of the vendor's attention unless you reach a certain level of, shall we say, notoriety.
I was going to use that word.
Yeah. I'm fortunate that I reached that level of notoriety and the vendors began to invite me to their analyst events and so forth and so on. But so many of my independent analyst buddies and practitioner buddies weren't invited. So I created the BBBT to give them access to vendor briefings. It started out, as you said, in 2006 with about six of us. I invited the vendor to Boulder and I said, look, do a deep dive for my friends here in this local area. Yeah. And let's spend about 3 hours going through all your technology and even some NDA stuff at the end of it. And from those humble beginnings, I think we did maybe four or five that year, we have grown to well over, you know, the word got out and everybody started saying, well, wait a minute, I'm independent. I want access too. We're now well over 220 members representing, I think, around 25 different countries. Wow. So that's pretty remarkable right there. We have done in the past about 37 events in a year. We're cutting that back because that's just way too many for us to handle. So we're now down to around 22, 24, something like that. If people are interested, I do hope that they will either become a member if you're an independent analyst or a practitioner. And independent means that you work for either a small company, but you certainly don't take payments from vendors for selling their software. That would not be an appropriate usage. Or if you're not an independent person like that, then you can become a subscriber and you get to watch the videos that we produce from each and every event, or hear a podcast, or watch a 5-minute trailer. So it was more out of frustration that caused me to form it, but boy, I must have hit a nerve because there's a lot of demand.
Well, sure looks like it, and I'm a subscriber. Just for our listeners, we will have links to Claudia's contact and websites in our show notes, so everybody's going to be able to see it and go ahead and subscribe or join the BBBT. Now, I want to switch gears to an area that's closer to our hearts, automation. How do you think data warehouse automation is changing the delivery of information to the business side of the equation?
Good question. Excellent question, actually. I really like data warehouse automation. One of the things that has hit every IT shop throughout the world and every business is let's do more with less. We have to do more. We have to be more productive. We have to cost less and yet still get the same quality of product out the door. So to me, the first thing that data warehouse automation brings to the table is the ability to create an environment for less money, make it cheaper. And the reason for that is it makes the implementers much more productive, much more efficient. Reusability has always been something that we have said you must have in a data warehouse environment. Well, data warehouse automation ensures reusability by making sure that we do have certain standards, certain configurations that we use over and over. I think the second advantage is we have to do more with less, but we also have to do it faster. Faster, 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 cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. And the faster part is the agility that we get by using a data warehouse automation technology. Far more agility in the team itself. We can create prototypes faster. We can change prototypes faster. We can change existing production things faster. So I think that's the second big advantage. And then the third one, data warehouse or business intelligence and analytics environments are here for the long haul. They are constantly changing. They have to be. That's a sign of a good, robust, and healthy analytics environment. But changes are very difficult if you don't have good documentation, if you don't have an easy way to pick up the pieces and change them and then put them back together again and put it into production. So I think the third thing that data warehouse automation gives us is that robust documentation that allows us to manage the environment far better, to sustain it and manage it on into the future. So good on you, automation people. That's a tremendous boost to anybody that's in this environment.
Thank you. And I mean, we are seeing that pain point out there. So it was interesting to get your take on it. I want to also talk about the business side. In our projects at DeModlo, we often find that the technical folks are quite knowledgeable. It's on the business side that we often find a knowledge gap. And because of the pressure to get good, cost-effective, almost real-time BI these days, executives and business managers we deal with find themselves in a situation where they have to integrate a lot of knowledge very quickly. If there was one resource or resources that you could recommend to help them on their BI journey, what would it be?
Yes, we all have the adult onset ADD, right? So I guess where to start? First off, I would probably look into TED Talks. Normally, they're about 15 minutes. They're very, very good talks by incredible speakers. So if you want to get a taste for what analytics can do for your company, what it's all about, and so forth, I suggest that you start with a TED Talk. Now, that's going to be very high level and, very much not into the details that most people might want. If you do get an interest in it and you want to go into more depth, then I would say there are any number of online courses, lynda.com, coursera.com. Go to those free online courses and dive into it a little more deeply. And then the last suggestion, I don't know where people are, if you live in a city that's got a university, I'll just about guarantee that university has some kind of analytics course. And again, nice, good, practical examples of analytics and how you can use them in your everyday life, generally in most university courses.
Thank you. I mean, that's one. I mean, I've thought of a lot of resources, but although I'm a big TED consumer, I've never even thought of that. And that's a great idea. And what I especially love about TED Talks, like you said, is that they're short and sweet and really packed with knowledge. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you bringing that up. Now I want to move on to a segment of the podcast where we try to get to know our guests a little bit better with some totally unrelated non-tech questions. So are you ready? I hope you're ready.
This will be difficult.
So first one, what is your current go-to TV show that you're either watching or binging, as the case may be?
Oh, good question. I love Madam Secretary. Mm-hmm. I know it's a political show, but it's a feel-good political show. It shows a side of our government, perhaps, that it actually can do some good in the world. I love the lady that Tia Leone, who yes. stars as Madam Secretary. I think she's just fabulous. So to me, that's my go-to show. Sunday nights, I'm right there.
I'm a fan as well. And if you love The West Wing and you have not watched Madam Secretary, you will love Madam Secretary. I can tell
Absolutely.
You that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One other question before we conclude. Which non-tech book have you recommended or given away as a gift most often?
Oh, wow, another good one. I'm actually reading it right now, so I haven't given it away, but boy, if the opportunity raises its head, I certainly will be giving this away. It's a book called Salt, believe it or not.
What is it?
Yeah, it's by Mark Kurlansky. It's the world history of salt. Believe it or not, the salt on your table, and how it has shaped civilization throughout the millennia. It's an absolutely fascinating book.
I do believe it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I recommend it to anybody. So if I get a chance, I'll give it away.
Awesome. That's a great recommendation. I'm going to add it to my list. Last but not least, where can our audience find out more about you and the work you do?
Well, probably the best place is to go to the BBBT website, and that's bbbt.us, not com, but US. And you can see all the videos we've produced. You can see the vendors that have come. You can read a little bit about me and any of our members, for that matter. So I would suggest that's my pride and joy. I am so happy that the BBBT has become such a successful entity. By the way, being a subscriber or a member is free. I forgot to mention that. So if that entices anyone, I hope it does, go to BBBT and click on the Get Involved tab. And it's really easy. Select either be a member or be a subscriber and off you go.
That's awesome. And, having joined it as a subscriber myself, maybe the last month, I can, definitely tell folks out there listening that the content is real top-notch quality. So thank you for putting that out there.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So this concludes our podcast today with Dr. Claudia Imhoff. Thank you so much for your time today. And I think there's so many more questions I would love to ask. So maybe we can do a second round at some point.
Oh, I'd love to. That would be wonderful. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, DeModolo. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. And for our listeners out there, you'll be able to find a replay of this podcast at www.demodelo.com. And as always, we're going to be sending out a link to the podcast with a whole bunch of the notes for the sites that people and resources that people have mentioned. Thanks again. And until next time.